Especially where natural and human habitats intersect, there's a chance for injury to wildlife. But happily, there are a lot of great people out there around the state who work to rescue them and nurse them back to health. Jackie Edmonds, our guest today, is the wildlife coordinator for the Dane County Humane Society's Four Lakes Wildlife Center in Madison. It's a wonderful center. I really like it a lot. And as a matter of fact, Coco came, our kitty came right from there. So we're really happy to have Coco, and we're happy to have Jackie back. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, you've got some exciting times here. In a way, sad, because we've got some injured wildlife at the center, and gosh,
a
whole variety.
Winter. Yes.
Yeah. So, just give us a sampling.
What sure. We have a snowy owl in right now. That's probably our feature bird. Mm-hmm. We have a bald eagle and two tundra swans. Yeah. So all Arctic visitors this winter.
All Arctic visitors. And by the way, I didn't give the phone number, so let me do that right now. If you have a question, comment, or maybe experience to share, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Tundra swans, there have been hundreds of them, there were, up until just a week or so ago on Lake Monona. Mm-hmm. So I wondered if we would have some, what happened there?
Oh, well, both of them came from Lake Monona, actually. Yeah. They have lead toxicity, lead poisoning from probably picking up a lead sinker or excess shot from the bottom of one of the lakes. Might not be from Lake Monona, but from somewhere, and he finally crash-landed here.
That's too bad. And what about the snowy owl?
He has a left eye injury as well as a laceration on one of his feet. He had a bruised left wing, so we assume probably some sort of trauma, maybe getting hit by a car. He was found somewhere near the roadside, and it's just something that these birds aren't very fearful of people or cars when they come through their migration here. They're not used to a lot of people up in the Arctic, so getting hit by cars can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the bald eagle that's receiving treatment now, who brought it in?
We had a different rehabilitator from Iowa County, actually. Someone had reported him to the DNR, mm-hmm. and that rehabilitator helped with the DNR warden to pick him up, also found by the roadside. But his injury is a little bit different, also lead toxicity. So he was found and then transferred to our clinic.
This lead toxicity, and that's mm-hmm. the second eagle in...
Second eagle in the last few weeks, yep.
So... Where are the eagles? I suppose the eagles are picking it up from the water. Would the birds have lead?
It's a little different. So the eagles, they're scavengers, and a lot of times, especially after hunting season comes around, they're sometimes lead shot from the gut piles left behind from deer hunting season. And when they scavenge on that, they get the small little bits, and then it's ingested, and it causes a lot of problems.
Boy, so yeah, we're hoping to. How's that eagle doing, by the way?
Much better, actually. His first levels were completely off the charts, greater than 65 micrograms per deciliter, which is a kind of crazy number to think about. But it's something that was almost immeasurable on our lead toxicity meter. So we tested again a week later, and it dropped. So it was lower, and uh-huh. we're testing again this afternoon to see if it's gone any lower than that.
How do you work with birds that, how do you reduce that? Or is it just a question of feeding them good non-lead
food sources?
Food sources.
Yeah. It's a lot of care. They need lots of fluids, and we have to chelate the lead from the body, because when the lead gets ingested, it goes into the stomach, and the gastric juices all, dissolve the lead. It gets into the blood system cardiovascularly, and it goes into the bone, and that bird gets really emaciated and weak, and eventually they get seizures and lots of other things. It's a horrible, painful thing to go through, so lots of supportive care in rehab.
Oh, my goodness. So when you talk about chelating, what does that mean, really?
It's basically an injection. It's usually calcium EDTA, a very big molecule, and it takes lead out of the blood. So it replaces it with calcium, which is great. They need calcium. And that way it can be safely excreted through the urinary system afterwards.
Very, very cool. Jackie Edmonds, our guest today, wildlife coordinator for the Dane County Humane Society's Four Lakes Wildlife Center. They're pretty busy this year, and looking forward to hearing your questions and comments as we talk with her about rehabilitating wildlife and also experiences. I know there are lots of people have had experiences with wildlife in these kinds of circumstances, injuries and so forth. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd certainly love to hear from you. We have 8 turkeys in my neighborhood here in Madison over on the east side, and I see one of them is injured.
Oh, no.
It's kind of hopping around a little bit, so it's got an injury to its leg somehow. But, you know, if you see an animal like that, this one seems to be getting around just pretty much just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see a bird or an animal you think is injured, what should you do?
Well, definitely give our Wildlife Center a call. We have resources with volunteers sometimes that can go out on rescues. But we also have our wonderful animal services officers that work for the county to help bring in not only domestic dogs and cats to the Humane Society when we have issues there, but also they go around and pick up wildlife. So we can help kind of troubleshoot where, you know, we can do a rescue or they can help with a rescue. And then if an animal's injured, we really want to get all of the details and try and figure out what we can do to help those animals in need, because it's usually something pretty painful.
Okay, and how common is it that someone thinks an animal is injured and it isn't?
Well, that happens sometimes, too. We get false alarms every once in a while, but it's better to be safe than sorry, and we'll always have someone go out to try and assess, but better that we try and do something.
Yeah, and of course, you're located in Dane County, just south of Madison. Are there other wildlife rehabilitation centers around the state? And are they also connected to the local Humane Society?
We're one of 2 Humane Societies that have a wildlife program. Wisconsin Humane in Milwaukee has a really great program. So they take a lot of animals near that area of Wisconsin. And we certainly have other local rehabilitators. Wisconsin Wildcare does a lot of mammals like raccoons. And we have other rehabilitators in other counties. And you can find that on the DNR website. Mm-hmm. And they have a list of all of the local rehabilitators, and you can find their phone numbers and contact information.
So doing a lot of amazing work in many of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's unbelievable the amount of the work that does get done by those folks. Mike in La Crosse has a question. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. In your opening comments, you said that something about the eagles ingesting shot from eating the gut piles from deer that were killed during the deer hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, first of all, we don't shoot deer with shotguns in Wisconsin. They may in other states. We hunt with rifles and rifle bullets and rifled slugs in the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, those pass right through the animal. And if they are lodged in the animal, they're usually lodged somewhere in the carcass where they're discovered by the person who shot them when the animal is butchered.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as and we don't shoot waterfowl with lead shot any longer.
No.
And even so, most of those are taken someplace else besides the location where they're shot, where they're clean. So any shot that's left in the carcasses or potentially in the guts of the animal that was harvested is disposed of, is not disposed of at the point where they were taken.
Sure. There's been a couple of really great studies, and the DNR helped in this a couple of years ago with some workshops testing lead versus copper, for instance. And they found that when you use a rifle and you shoot even just a single shot, that fragment can actually still ricochet if it hits bone or something, if you don't quite get your target. And up to 30% of that lead bullet can still get stuck in the carcass somewhere. And so that's part of the reason. Using something like copper doesn't actually fragment at all, and that's non-toxic to the raptors. And in regards to the waterfowl, it's, you know, we've had a long history of hunting here in Wisconsin, which is great. It's just that the lead doesn't actually come out of the environment. So it has stayed in the environment, and especially during drought years, when the waterfowl are able to access the bottom of those wetlands and those lakes, they ingest that lead because they think it's grit or sand or rocks, and that helps them to digest because that's their normal behavior. And so, unfortunately, the lead, they might pick up a little sinker thinking it's a pebble, and that's how they get it. So it's a little, it's a mixture of different things, but the lead shot still can happen in gut piles if you use a certain different type of bullet. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. Thanks, Mike, for calling. Appreciate it. You can, excuse me, you can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page for that. Jim said that he knows that it probably varies a lot, but in general terms, what percentage of rehabilitated wildlife or rehab wildlife recover enough to be released back into the wild?
If I were to give a very general estimate, it would probably be something around 50%. We aim for half of our patients, and we receive over 3,000 every year just at our clinic alone to try and get back out there. But unfortunately, we see so many very traumatic injuries that come in right away that we have to make a very tough call sometimes and say, you know, we might not have the resources or this injury is just too far gone for us to be able to do anything. So about 50%, I would say, you know, young songbirds that we can raise or animals that have a good prognosis with a surgery from one of our vets, definitely.
But you can't, you know, you can't save everything. Can't save it all, unfortunately. No. I'm sure you'd like to.
We'd love to, yes. I wish every animal that came through we could give a chance to, absolutely.
I know that that's how you feel. And so, yeah, great to be able to know that. And certainly, again, join in with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. We talked about worm composting in the first half of the show. And you have that tied into a program, don't you?
We do, actually, and we're trying to get that out to the public right now. We have a couple of really wonderful, dedicated volunteers who are holding a workshop for us on Saturday, February 7th, I believe, at the Humane Society. With a suggested $10 donation, but we're going to give you all of the equipment that you would need to help grow mealworms and redworms for our patients, because that's what we have. You know, we need a lot of worms for those birds.
So when is that again? Let's go.
Yep, Saturday, February 7th, I believe, from 11 in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
From 11 to 1.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Mm-hmm.
Two couple of hours, you're going to learn how to do it?
Yeah, bring your kids. It's a family fun type of activity. You know, I'm sure the kids love to learn how to house their own mealworms and have creepy crawly bugs and have them in their rooms or something as a science project. So, absolutely.
Well, you know, Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, is quite the worm expert. You know, we like to think of her as one of the extension worm specialists here in Wisconsin Public Radio, and she's going to start a second worm bin just for you folks. Just for you folks. You can do that, too. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back and talk some more with Jackie Edmonds. Stay with us. Well, if you are a regular listener to this program, you know that we really enjoy talking about the wonderful natural areas in our state and, of course, the wildlife that inhabit those areas, and we often talk about taking care of the environment sort of in large terms, I guess you might say, but today we're focusing a little bit more on some individual creatures. Larry Mueller here, great to have you along today on the Ideas Network, and great to have with us Jackie Edmonds, a wildlife coordinator. She's got a really interesting background. She has an advanced wildlife, is an advanced wildlife rehabilitator for the state of Wisconsin, has been staff for the Dane County Humane Society's Four Lakes Wildlife Center program since 2012. Her background, a BS in zoology and environmental studies from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and currently working on a Master of Science degree in conservation biology and sustainable development. And she also holds a sub-permittee bird banding license and a scientific research license as well. Passion, obviously, for wildlife education. She loves training new volunteers and interns through hands-on instruction. So, well, you're all about that wildlife, aren't you?
I love wildlife. It's my passion, that's for sure.
Well, it's great to have you along. And as you listen today, I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. She's sharing with us what she knows about what to do if a bird or an animal needs help, if you find one. We'd love to hear your own experiences with wildlife that have been injured, perhaps. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can post your questions or your comments there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. What is it? How many people are involved at the center?
Well, historically,
that work with wildlife.
Sure. There's two full-time staff there, myself and Brooke Lewis, who is our wildlife rehabilitation supervisor. I learned a lot and everything I know from her. She's also an advanced licensee. And we have a couple of limited-term summer employees because our busiest times of year are from March through October when we start getting babies in during baby season. And then another part-time staff to help with events and administration.
So, and how many did you, 3,000?
3,000 animals a year and five of us on staff.
Yeah, so that is 3,000 a year if you do that. And frankly, and then it sort of concentrates into the summer months a bit.
6 months.
So we talked earlier about snowy owl, eagles, and what else did we talk about?
Two tundra swans.
Oh, two tundra swans. Mm-hmm. What other kinds of wildlife? Do you have others?
We do.
In now?
Mm-hmm. We have a few red-tailed hawks that are in with us. One of them had an ulna fracture. Again, likely a hit-by-car type of accident. A tiny little screech owl. They're one of the smallest owls in Wisconsin. He's got an eye injury that we unfortunately have to surgically remove the eye. So we don't know how well he's going to, if he'll be a releasable case or not yet, but he's a real cute little guy. I like him a lot.
So if you have, and I'll go back and ask you some more about the other wildlife, but if you've got something like that little screech owl, and obviously it's not a fatal thing, at least in the short run. Mm-hmm. So what happens to those animals?
Well, it depends. I mean, sometimes some of our birds, if they're not releasable, can go to education programs. People that use raptors, for instance, in educational experiences with the public or to zoos as exhibit animals and that kind of thing. So there are options for them.
Okay.
Sure.
And obviously you really make sure that you exhaust all options.
Right, before we make any other calls, absolutely.
Yeah. Monique said that she appreciates that even when the injured animals can't be saved, that people like you make sure that they don't suffer.
Yeah, and we have a lot of great resources at our center for pain medications and, you know, anything that a person might go through with trauma, we try to do for animals so that they're not in pain while they're there either.
Yeah, and it's what a beautiful setting. I love the whole facility. It's great.
We have a wonderful new flight pen. It was built just by our volunteer crew, and it's now, you know, it's 70 feet long. It's huge, but it's all, you know, it's beautiful.
Seen that.
It just got built this year, and we're super excited to have it. And we have goals for a 100-foot flight pen for eagles someday, but that's in our next plans for building, so hopefully.
Well, Kathleen in Madison has something, and let's go to her. Thank you for calling, Kathleen. Hi.
Hello. I was walking along one day, and I came across a dead scarlet tanager, and it had really obviously just run straight into a window and broken its neck. And it's actually, it's still in my freezer. I'm going to be giving it to somebody at the UW. Haven't got around to it. But that made me really think about, you know, we lose so many birds, a lot of songbirds to that. And right next to my bird feeder, I went ahead and put a tape on the windows. I read something about doing a grid pattern that you know, so that's kept it down a lot. They used to thunk their poor little heads on my window, but that they don't do that anymore. So
yeah, there's been a lot of great companies out there that you can purchase decals for your entire window, or even just small ones that have a reflection that really help birds from flying into windows because they see right through it, and that that's a huge point for us for mortality or injury for birds. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's wonderful. There's also there's something you can kind of hang over the window, if I'm not mistaken, that is very fine.
Mm-hmm. Or a reflective type of tape that shimmers in the wind. There's a lot of options. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate the call. We talked about a little earlier about some of the facilities that are around the state, but you know, maybe go in a little more detail on some of the facilities that you're aware of and familiar with.
Sure. There are a few centers. If we're talking, you know, way up north in Minocqua, there's Northwoods Wildlife Center. There's Marge Gibson up in Antigo, Wisconsin, and she, I know, deals with many lead toxicity cases with bald eagles and loons and swans, just like we're seeing this winter. There are
Marge has been on the show quite a few times. Yeah, it's a fun person to talk to.
Yeah, she's got a great history, and yeah, she knows so much about those guys too, and has helped a lot of animals at her center. And yeah, there are a number of others. We've got Wildlife in Need in Oconomowoc, and they're Fellow Mortals in Lake Geneva area. So yeah, a number of them in our area, at least within a couple of hours drive.
Talking with Jackie Edmonds today, wildlife coordinator for the Dane County Humane Society. People are kind of quiet today. I'm surprised. You can join in, too, with your questions or comments as we talk about wildlife rehabilitation. Give us your experiences or questions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. I would love to hear from you. Today, as we talk with her about rehabilitation and those wildlife, what other types of injuries? We started by talking primarily about lead.
Mm-hmm.
But what other kinds of injuries do raptors receive typically?
We see a lot of fractures from broken bones. That's probably the number one. And ocular trauma to their eyes, especially if they're also, you know, they could run into windows as well. There's a lot of raptors that are becoming more and more urban these days, like red-tailed hawks. You know, your Cooper's hawks and your sharp-shinned hawks like to catch the songbirds near your feeders. So there's a risk there of them running into windows. Mm-hmm. A majority of it is going to be mostly trauma related.
Yeah, and boy, it's hard to imagine how you set up. I mean, if you got a fractured wing bone or something, how the heck?
It's difficult. You know, we have to pin it under surgery if it's a certain bone.
Oh.
Depends if it's open to the environment, which, you know, we need antibiotics if it's going to cause an infection. If it's a closed fracture, that's a lot easier usually to deal with. But sometimes you have multiple fractures in multiple areas. And so keeping a raptor who's not wanting to stay in captivity for 3 weeks and trying to keep them still and not moving is a difficult task. But
I would expect. Sam in Oconomowoc, thanks a lot for calling. Hi, appreciate your call.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. What's on your mind?
So I'm an arborist, so I'm working up in trees very frequently. I'm just wondering if you have any programs for people who work out in the environment to create habitat in urban areas for birds, squirrels, raccoons, anything we really want to keep. Because I'll frequently be up pruning a tree and there'll be an area that would probably make a good home for birds, squirrels, bats. And just wondering if there's any way for me to utilize that a little better, like carve out a hole with a chainsaw, something like that, in a piece of deadwood.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, we've thought about holding programs like that, and we hadn't really known if there was much interest from the local area and the public. We have a number of arborists, or a few of them, that have worked with us over the last year. One of them actually went with one of our volunteers to re-nest owls. I think they did like 18 re-nesting of baby owls climbing the trees to put them back in their nests.
Wow.
Because they fall out of their nests. But there are certainly, you know, options for holding something for people in your type of field, saying, you know, what kind of resources could we use as a center? We love having hollowed out tree pieces donated to us so that we can put them in the pens for our patients. And there's a lot of resources online about what to do with, you know, like, for instance, our excess Christmas trees this year. Yeah. We had probably over 10 or 15 dropped off at our doorstep, which was wonderful. And those can be reused to make great habitats in your backyard for brush-dwelling animals and for other species. And we also have an option for the public to be a release site for us. So if you're ever working on land that they might be willing to hold wildlife, if they're interested in having animals released on their property and it's a good place for wildlife, we can always set that up with them.
You know, we had Scott Craven on the show a week ago, and Scott was talking. Someone asked, you know, how do I set up something in my backyard? And he gave a description that was really quite good, and we, I think, posted it, Judith posted it up on our Facebook pages. That it involves laying some logs out first and then cross-hatching them and then putting, like, the Christmas trees and the other sort of teepee fashion on top. Mm-hmm. And already people have tried it and have said, wow, right away we were getting some wildlife into that, into those spots.
That's awesome. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and you know, when you've got the logs on the bottom, there's a mm-hmm. place for the animals mm-hmm. kind of to hide in underneath, and the brush on top, mm-hmm. you got your birds. And
yeah, the more natural, the better. Yeah,
yeah, and so our previous caller, that definitely would be something that he might be interested in taking a look at. We have, and we also have, and Judith wrote that up as a web article, too, so our at our website, there's an article that she wrote about Scott's comments on setting up setting that up in your home yard. Cam in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a story about rescuing a baby sparrow. Many years ago, when I lived in California, I came home from work and found a baby sparrow on the patio that the ants were already crawling all over, but I could see that it was moving. So I went inside, and I don't know if I did the right thing or not, but I went inside and I got a shoebox and I filled it full of soft cloth and picked it up and brushed all the ants off of it and took it inside with the soft cloth and kind of kept it where it was warm. And I made up a slush of cream of wheat.
Oh,
and I fed that little bird for over a week with an eyedropper.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it's similar.
And it got better.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It got better. And when it was time, I turned it loose outside, and it stayed in the yard. And I always knew that funny little bird because the ants had, you know, ruffled up all the feathers on its little downy head, and they stuck up like a little rock star. And I always knew where he was, or she.
Yeah, and, you know, we feed our baby birds with something similar, like an eyedropper. We use little syringes, and, you know, for us, we have really specialized baby bird food that we make for the babies every single day, so that they get the right nutrition, and they've got protein and all of that, that kind of stuff. So it sounds like you had a similar good experience, just like we have with our hundreds of baby birds every year.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Cam. That's a great story. Appreciate it very much. John in Duluth, Minnesota, it is your turn. Hi, John.
Hello. In Minneapolis, you've probably heard they're building a huge sports stadium, and it's got a huge glass covering to it, and they never came up with a plan to put in a protection there for the birds who would be flying in that area. And I'm just wondering if your guest has heard of that problem that's ongoing right now, and if she has any opinion on it.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a tough one for sure. I remember reading about it, and I know there was a lot of controversy and some push, especially from Audubon, to try and have them, you know, maybe rethink the plans for that sports stadium. And I certainly agree that it could really cause some injuries to birds, absolutely. And I don't know where exactly in the process they are with that right now. I'm sure they're still discussing a lot of options. But, you know, I guess my own personal thought would be, I hope that they do something that would maybe reduce the reflection or do something like I was talking about with the previous caller, to do some sort of, you know, window covering that might cause them less harm, definitely.
Yeah. So, and I imagine if Audubon kept at them a little bit, there'd be, just public relations wise, you'd think there'd be some effort to
hopefully, yes,
fix that. John, thanks. Sue and Duluth, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. I know you have a lot of listeners in Duluth, and I just wanted to mention that we have a really excellent rehabilitation center called Wildwoods.
And right in Duluth.
Yes, they are. And they're growing and just doing wonderful work.
Oh, that's great.
And just wanted to mention it for your Duluth listeners.
Oh, that's wonderful. And because obviously we have people all over the state listening. And so that's an area, if you've got an injured animal or find one, the Wildwoods Rehab Center, and I bet you they're online too, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
So that's if that would certainly be in that part of the country, that part of northern Wisconsin and Minnesota, go online, find out where it is so you know what to do. Thank you, Sue. Appreciate it very much. And Stephanie in Bear Creek. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. The guest mentioned a few moments ago about landowners that might be interested in being a release site. My husband and I have 80 acres in Waupaca County that we have in CRP, which might be ideal, and I would definitely be interested in that. And then also a compliment, we've had two bats. We have a 150-year-old farmhouse and probably a lot of spaces where things can crawl in, yep. And we work on that every year, but we've had two bats enter into our home about this time of year, twice in the 20 years that we've lived here, and both times I contacted the DNR, and I just have to say, from the first experience we had 20 years ago to now, where the information for rehabbers and whatnot is online, wow, the turnaround. I had the bat originally. I kept it and fed it grub worms for a week and then was able to take it down to West Bend. This time I had it transported within a day to a much closer area. And just the progress you guys have made in that area has been really wonderful to see. And your website is really great, too. But I would like more information about possibly being a release site.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we do take applications from all over. And Waupaca County, I guess it would depend on how far away of a drive for our volunteers it might be. And it also would depend on what kind of species anyone is willing to have released. You know, we're always looking for places where people might want to hang up a squirrel box, or if we have a raptor that was found near that area that we would want to release and we can't go right back to where they came from, if it's somewhere nearby, which we do take many animals out of county, we can you can find our release application actually on our website at giveshelter.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yes.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. What's a typical day like for you, by the way,
Jackie? Oh, it's
Jackie?
So busy. Oh, well, you have to go in, and as staff, we do rounds on all of the patients. So you get in, and you have your note cards and your charts and everything, and we go by patient. A lot of times volunteers have questions or medications need to be given right away, and it kind of depends on the timing. And then all of a sudden you get two or three animals admitted and you're like, oh no, emergency situation. So it's a lot of flying by the seat of your pants, and but it's so rewarding, and I absolutely love my job, you know, rehabilitating these patients.
And how many have you got there right now?
Oh, if I were to give an estimate, probably only about 20 or so patients. It's our slow time of year, but with the amount of medical care that these guys are getting right now, it actually takes quite a lot of time just with a few patients.
And where does the money come? from?
It's all publicly donated. We don't get any funding from the DNR or from federal government. It's just, you know, great people from the local Madison community helping us out. And that's how, it's the only way we can care for these animals.
Yeah, so that's, and, you know, there's lots of generous people out there.
Absolutely.
But there's always, you know, probably can always use a little help.
Yeah, and yeah, the lead chelation, you know, that's expensive.
Oh, yeah. What would that? What does that cost?
It's like $10 for a tiny bottle. So we fly through it like crazy at this time of year. So, yeah, you can donate on our website if anyone is interested in helping the eagle or the swans.
Or the owl.
Or the owl. Anyone, any of our patients.
Well, I tell you, the last caller put a big smile on Judith's face as she talked about the bats and what she did for the bats. Yeah. And Judith's also a bat specialist, along with worms. Mm-hmm. She's bats, too.
We're getting into some bats at the Wildlife Center, actually.
Are you?
Yeah, we're working on helping out Bat Cow in Sun Prairie. They've taken bats for many years. But with the white nose syndrome regulations, they need some extra help this year.
So
we're working on trying to get something together.
Never a dull moment.
Never dull.
Jackie, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it very much. And Dane County's Four Lakes Wildlife Center is a wonderful place.
Yes, I'm proud to be there.
Yeah, I bet you are. And they're proud to have you. I'm pretty sure of that, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jackie Edmonds, Wildlife Coordinator for the Dane County Humane Society's Four Lakes Wildlife Center, working on a master's degree in conservation biology and sustainable development at UW-Madison. We'll have her back. We'll do this again. It was fun. Tomorrow, we'll get some great consumer advice, consumer protection advice from Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.